Okay, Rabosai, today's daf is Shabbos daf Chaf Aleph. Very excited to get into some Chanukah sugyas. Coming to you from my laundry room, now currently Beis Medrash, on my porch. So if there's some birds or some weird noises, you'll understand what's going on. Hopefully the dryer won't turn on. I think I paused it, but anyway. All right, so we're on daf Chaf Aleph. We're going to get to Chanukah, but first we have a couple of issues to still take care of. Again, we're talking about wicks and oils and what they may be what may be used and what may not be used on to light for Shabbos candles, obviously Erev Shabbos, because we're concerned that you may come to tilt the lamp and kind of like encourage the fire. If it's flickering, if it's not lighting so well, you may come to either add the oil or tilt the lamp and change the situation of the wick. That would be an issue of Havara on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbanan. Kol she'elu amru in manlikin b'hen b'shabes, avo osin mehen medura. If all of these items that we listed in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to use for a candle, for like a little jug of oil and a wick, you are allowed to use them for a big torch. The idea is you have many, many wicks here, and you're not concerned that it's going to go out. Bein lishamem kinegda, whether you're going to use it to warm up, bein lishtamish l'oro, whether you can use it for its light, bein agabe karka, bein agabe kira, whether it's on top of the ground, when it's on the ground, like a bonfire, or it's agabe kira, or it's on a stove. Lo asra el alasus mehem psila l'ner bilva. The only thing that's usr is to use these items to make a wick for a ner, for a candle. Again, a candle back in the day, meaning a little jug of oil and a wick coming out with some oil inside. That's the only thing that's usr, because you may come to tilt that and violate Havara on Shabbos. Vlobin shem and kik, the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to use shem and kik. Gemara says, my shem and kik, what's that? So Amar Shmuel, she'eltinu l'chol nachote yama, I asked all the sailors, v'amruli, and they said to me, of echad yesh b'krech hayayam, v'kik shmo, there's a bird called kik, and they would apparently make this oil from either from the bird itself or from its extract, from its excrement, I'm not sure. But they would use this kik oil, this kik bird, to make kik oil. Rabbi Yitzchak Breider of Yudah Amar, Mishcha de Kaza. Kik oil is actually cottonseed. Cottonseed oil. We have already Pesach's coming up, so that's already nafkaminas in terms of cautious on cottonseed oil, whether it's considered kidneys or not. But okay, kik seed is cottonseed oil. Reish Lakish Amar, no, it's from the Kikayon de Yonah. If you remember at the end of Sefer Yonah, so Yonah, you know, kind of chilled out to see what would happen to Nineveh. So Kosh Baruch Hu did a big chesed, because it's very hot. He made this Kikayon plant very leafy and shady. It grew to kind of help Yonah, and then died to teach him a lesson. Okay, but anyway, it's this Kikayon plant, that's where you get the oil from. Amar Abba Rechana, Lididi Chazili Kikayon de Yonah. I actually saw the Kikayon of Yonah. Mistama, it means the species, doesn't mean Yonah's actual Kikayon, because at the end of the Sefer, Kikayon dries up and dies. Tzlilo liva dami, and it's similar to a tzlilo liva. I have no idea what that is. Our school translates it as a ricinus, R-I-C-I-N-U-S. No idea what that is either. It's some type of plant. Umidifshike rabe, and it grows from a lot of liquid in ponds. Apparently, it needs a lot of water. Valpum chanusa madlan yasei, and people hang it above their stores. Alpum chanut, on top of their stores, they hang it over there. Apparently, it's like it's not a garlic to keep out the vampires, but it's for shade and for, you know. Apparently, it may smell nice. Umipartsu dohi avdi mishcha. From its, I think its seeds, you make oil. Uvan fohi, and from its branches and from its leaves, naichan kol brichi de marava, you can rest all the people who are sick in Eretz Yisrael, meaning people would go under that tree, apparently it would help with their refua, or they would give them shade, meaning it's not just randomly that Kosh Baruch Hu gave that tree to Yonah. Apparently it had some sort of healing properties or some sort of shade that would help people if they're sick. Okay. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, "Psil she'amru chachamim in manlikin behem b'shabes." Why is that? Again, I jumped the gun, but Gemara now finally kind of elaborates. Why are all of these wicks no good on Shabbos? Mifnei she'or misachseres behem, because the light will flicker when you light them on fire. Shmanim she'amru chachamim in manlikin behem, but the oils that the chachamim said is no good. Mifnei she'ein nimshach nachar psila, because they're not easily absorbed by the wick. And again, if it's not easily absorbed by the wicks, or concerned that you may end up tilting the lamp so that the oil gets absorbed a little better, and that's going to be usher. Are you allowed, let's say you have a lamp or a candle back in the day, a little utensil, and you have some of this no good oil. Yeah, you have some of this no good oil in it. Are you allowed to put some good oil in there, a little bit of good oil, and therefore the wick will kind of absorb the good oil and start kind of sucking or seeping, or I'm not sure what the word is, but fueling itself from the bad oil. I mean, can you get the fire started with some good oil? Meaning, is there a gzera that maybe you'll come to use only bad oil? Meaning, if you have a whole thing of bad oil and you put a little bit of good oil, are we concerned that maybe you'll see, like, really, it's a whole thing of bad oil and you'll start lighting without the good oil whatsoever? So Rabba said back to Abai, no, it's no good. You can't do that. My time, what's the reason? Lefishe Madlikin. Because, period, you're not allowed to light with these oils, or these wicks, or really, we're talking about the oil here. But you're not allowed to light with these oils, period. There's a little plug. Not allowed to, even if you mix it, if it's a mixture, these oils, you may come to tilt the lamp and the candle, and therefore they're no good, regardless of how you kind of fix the mixture. Okay, weiter. Esve Abai went back to Rava. He said, you don't need to go that far. Meaning, why do you need to be gozer that you can't use a little bit of good oil with the bad oil? Let's say you wrapped something that you are allowed to light with on top of something that you're not allowed to light with. So what's the din? Ein malikin bo. That doesn't work. Yeah. Omer, Shalbeis Abba Hayukochen Psila Al Gabi Egos. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel seems to say that Rabbi Gamliel, my father, used to wrap a wick around a nut, umadliken, and they would light it. So that's Katani Mias Madliken. Apparently, you see that works. That you can kind of join two things together. Right, again, we asked a question about some bad oil with some good oil, but here you have a proper wick wrapped around a nut, which is obviously not shaykh to burn so well. So you see that you can, kind of join two things that are one that's good and one that's bad. So Amalai said to him, no, what are you talking about? Don't ask me a question from Shimon Gamliel. Say, tell me Tanakama. Give me a proof from the Tanakama. What did the Tanakama say? You're not allowed to light with something if you join it together. You're not allowed to wrap one substance over the other. You have a machlokes in that brisa. What kind of kasha is that? Right, yeah, Rabbi Gamliel is against me, but the Tanakama supports me. So Abaye said back to him, hello kasha, maisarav. No, when you have a maisarav, when you have a story in a brisa, that's much more powerful. That's more powerful. When you have a psak, and then a story about one of the great Tanaim that goes against that psak, so that's the story about the Tana is what's it's more powerful. So that's why I asked you a question from that brisa. Miko makshum kasha. So therefore we still have a question. My lav lahadlik, right? Certainly, weren't they using this wrapped nut? Right? If you wrapped it in flammable substances, clearly you see they were lighting it on fire, and therefore it should be mutter to combine two things, one that's good and one that's bad, and use that on Shabbos. The Gemara says lo lahakpos. Really, what were they doing? The nut was used to keep the wick floating in the oil. It wasn't that they were trying to use the nut to burn along with the wick. There was a wick, and in order to keep the wick from not sinking into the oil, they used a nut to keep it floating, to support it. So Gemara says, Ila Akpos, my time in Tanakamo. So, well, if you're telling me that the Bryce is talking about just floating or supporting a wick in oil, so why would the Tanakama say that's usser? You're allowed to make sure, you're allowed to prop up a wick in a thing of oil and a candle to make sure that it that it lights properly, right? That would, that, if anything, that should, you know, that should be, you should be chayav to do that on Shabbos to make sure that it burns properly. So Gemara says, "Kula Rabbi Shimon Gamliel." Really, no. The whole brace is actually Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. V'chizuri mechzera, and we're missing a couple of words. V'halchi gatani, and this is what it should have said. Korach davar shemadlikin bo al gabe davar shemadlikin bo. You're allowed to wrap something that you're allowed to light with on top of something that you're not allowed to light with. If you do that, if you wrap something that's mutter to use around something that's not mutter to use, so then ein madlikin bo. You're not allowed to light with that. That doesn't work as a wick. But medvar mamurim, when is that? Lahadlik. That's only if you're using that item that's not suitable for lighting, right, as part of the wick. You want to make the wick out of those two items. Ava lahakpos, but if you're gonna use it just to support the wick in the oil, so then mutter. Then that's mutter. Shar Mishim ben Gamliel omer, because Rav Mishim ben Gamliel said, Shabbos Abba hayu korchen psila al gabi egos, because my father used to wrap this wick around the nut and make sure it's supported in the oil. The Gemara says, Eini? Really? Is that really true? Is it really true? Again, back to the original question, that you're not allowed to add a little bit of good oil into some bad oil? V'amarav, barona amarav, chelev mahutach. This was some of the, I think it was the melted chelev. Chelev is fat, some of the fats in the animal which we're not allowed to eat. They were a little bit harder than other fats. Like, say, you know, when you buy a piece of meat from the store, certainly, you know, with marbleization and stuff, I have friends who understand meat. I don't understand meat, but there's certainly fats in there. So the chelev that you're not allowed to eat, that was a lot harder. But if that's melted, the kirve dagim, and insides of fish, shenimochu, if the insides of fish melted, yeah, if it's much more gelatinous, so then adam nosin letocho shemen, kol shehu mad, like you're allowed to put some oil, a little bit of oil, into those substances and light them and burn them and use them for a candle on Shabbos. So Gemara says that, I mean, that seems to say that you're allowed to combine two things that you're, you know, one thing that you are allowed to use, i.e. the shemen, and something that you're not allowed to use, i.e. this fish and this chelev, seemingly that works. So Gemara says, no, because honey mimshechi be'inayu, v'hani lo mimshechi be'inayu. No, what these two items, with the melted chelev and the fish stuff that's dissolved, nimochu, yeah, is melted. Those are already processed enough that they will kind of get drawn into the wick and the wick will absorb them. But anything else, all the other stuff, meaning aside from those two examples, those are exceptions. But everything else that won't get kind of drawn and sucked up by the wick, so then that's no good. For gazru rabbanan al chelev mutach mishum chelev she'enu mutach. And the Gemara said that really those two things should be fine, but the Rabbanan were gozer on chelev that's melted and insides of fish that have also melted, because you may come to use chelev that's not melted and these insides of the fish that have not melted, and those are not easily absorbed by the wick, and you may come to tilt the candle on, or the jug on Shabbos. So Gemara says, "V'lichzur mm-hmm. nami chelev mutach v'kir v'dagim shenimochu." So therefore, why don't you aser? I mean, if you're telling me that those two items are aser, right? The chelev that's melted and the fish that's also melted. So why don't we also go there? Those two items plus a little bit of shemen, right? You said before that if you put a little bit of shemen inside of those two items, that is totally fine. So the Gemara says, right? Meaning, why don't you? Just to start that again. V'lugzor nami chelev mahutach v'kirvei dagim shenimochu shenasan l'tocho shemen mishum chelev mahutach v'kirvei dagim shenimochu shalom natan b'sochon shemen. So why don't we go there, those two items plus shemen, that should be usher, because you may come to use those two items, right? Which we said are usher because you may come to use chelev and fish that have not melted. So the Gemara says exactly that point, that you're probably thinking that that's already way too far out. Right? He gufa gzeirav einanikam v'nigzor gzeirav l'gzeirav. Because that's already three steps removed. It's one thing if you're doing one step removed and two steps removed, but that's already a third step removed, and that's already not shaykh. Okay. So therefore the bottom line is that you're allowed to put a little bit of oil into those two items, but you're not really allowed to put oil into other items, because you may use those other items. Okay. Fine. A little bit more before we get to Hanukkah. Tani, we learned in a Mishnah, or when there's a Braisa. Anything that you're not allowed to use for Shabbos, you're not allowed to use to light in the Beis HaMikdash. Because the pasuk says, "La'alos ner tamid," because you need, it says by the menorah, you need it, the light to always be burning. And again, if these things are flickering, so that is a problem and a violation of, you know, it may not burn continuously. Tani lavahu amar la. Rabbi Bar Chama taught it, and then he explained it. Kidei shetehe shall have his ola ne'alehas. As long as the flame, so that the flame will light on its own, it'll go up on its own. Meaning you don't need to add anything else to make sure the flame burns. You need to use something that will burn on its own. It shouldn't burn based on anything else. Again, if you use some of these inferior wicks or oils, you may have to add something, you may have to tilt something, you may have to do something to menorah. We want the light to burn on its own. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Mishnah's the sukkah. Mivlai mechsane, and it's just important. The topic there is similar space to Shoeva. That when Gemara says at the end of the sukkah that on a simple space shoeva they would make all these torches all over the Beis HaMikdash, and as you'll see in a second, what they made the wicks from, mivloi mechnasei kohanim umehem nehem. They used to take worn out clothing of the Beis HaMikdash and their belts, not of the Beis HaMikdash, worn out clothing of the kohanim and their belts. They would kind of tear them up and cut them up and make them into wicks, and that's how they would light all these torches and these candlelight, these lamps all around the Beis HaMikdash for the Simchas Beis Shoeva. So Gemara says, that's actually a question, my bad. Meaning, the Kohanim's clothing were made from wool. Often it was made from kilayim. The belt was made from kilayim for sure. That was made from wool and linen, and that is, you know, that's kilayim. That was mutter in the Beis HaMikdash, and dafka mutter in the Kohanim's clothing. But we mentioned one of the things we mentioned in the Mishnah was that you're not allowed to burn wool. You're not allowed to use wool in it burns up very quickly. So if you're telling me, wait a second, one second. Rami Bar Chama said all of these things that we listed in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to use in the Beis HaMikdash because it has to burn continuously. Well, they used the Kohanim's clothing for these lights. Well, to burn these lamps, right? They're by the Simchas Beis Shoeva. What are you talking about? It's made out of wool. Right? It should be usher because that's one of the items that's not allowed to be used on Shabbos. So the Gemara says Simchas Beis Shoeva shiny. No. That was only for the menorah. But Simchas Beis Shoeva, right, that was different. That's Rashi writes the Loksiv Halos La, right? That pasuk does not apply to it, right? Simchas Beis Shoeva is not part of that pasuk. That pasuk is talking about. Rashi says the Indian is Lo Daraisa He. That Simchas Beis Shoeva is not Daraisa, implying that if any other fire in the Beis HaMikdash would be Daraisa, including I guess the Mizbeach. Or maybe the Ketores also, perhaps, I'm not sure. But since the lights that illuminated the Beis HaMikdash for Simchas Beis Shoeva were not Daraisa, so that this pasuk does not apply to it. Okay. Tashma, let's bring another proof. Let's bring another challenge. The Tani Rabba Bar Masna, Bigde Kahuna Shebalu, if you had any Bigde Kahuna that worn out, Mafkin Osam Mehenos and Psilos LaMikdash, you would use them for wicks for the Beis HaMikdash. So what's that referring to? My love, the Kalayim, is that not talking about the belt, the kilayim, and the belt of the wool and the linen? And we said wool is not appropriate to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. And again, this is talking about the menorah itself. That's why it's a problem, because again, we said the menorah la'alos ner tamid has to always be lit. So the Gemara says la'o debots. No, it's only talking about the items that were linen. They would not actually use the belt, which is wool and linen. So therefore, they weren't using wool, and everything checks out. They're using linen, which is certainly fine for lamp. For lamp wicks. Okay, and now we get out to Hanukkah, which is the segue, as you can imagine, is pretty obvious. Amar Rav Huna psilos u'shmanim she'amru chachamim ein malikim behem b'shabbes ein malikim behem b'chanukah. According to Rav Huna, these wicks that you're not allowed to light on Shabbos, you're not allowed to use for Hanukkah, bein b'shabbes bein b'chol, whether it's Shabbos or whether it's weekday. Right, regardless, it has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, it has to do with Hilchos Chanukah. The menorah is no good if you use any of these items for wicks or oil. Amar Rava, my time out, Rav Huna, what's the reason? So Kasavar, because he holds two things. Kavsa Zakikla, Umutar L'shtamish La'ora. I'll explain these two things, and then there are a couple more opinions, and that'll become clear. Ravuna holds that kofsa, if it goes out, zokikla, you need to relight it. That's the reason they're no good on chol, on weekday, because we're afraid that you may neglect to relight it. Right? You light one of these shady oil wick situations, and then you leave, and it goes out 5 minutes later, and then, well, you blew it, because you need to relight it, you need to make sure it lasts the entire shear, and we'll talk about that in a number of days. Umutr lashtamish ba'ora, and he holds that it's mutter for you to use the light of the menorah on Hanukkah. Therefore, it's usher on Shabbos. Why? Because if you're sitting and using the light of the Chanukiah on Shabbos, and you're allowed to use it, because that's what he holds, if it's made from one of these lousy wicks or oils, you may come again to tilt the lamp, and that would be an Isser Daraisa, you'd be violating a Havara on Shabbos. Okay, that's one opinion. For Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Chisda says, Madlikin Behen Bechol, you are allowed to use it on weekday, Avalo B'Shabbos, but you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. Why? Because he, Kasavar, Kavsa, Ein Zakigla, we're not afraid, you don't have to relight it if it goes out, so therefore on Chol, once you light it, we're not concerned that you may mess up and not relight it because you don't have to. Umutr l'shtamish ba'ora, but he also holds you are allowed to use the light of the Chanukiah, and therefore on Shabbos we're concerned that you may come to tilt it if you're using it on Shabbos. That's why Rav Chisda holds its usher on Shabbos. The third opinion is Amar Rav Yizera, this is how we paskin, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Rav Yizera, Amar Rav, Psilus u'shmonim sh'amar chachamim e'im malikim ben b'Shabbos, malikim ben b'Chanukah, bein b'chol ben b'Shabbos. No. These wicks and oils that you're not allowed to use on Shabbos, you are allowed to use on Hanukkah, regardless of whether it's Yontif, whether it's weekday or Shabbos. On Rabbi Yirmiyah, Matamid Rav, what's the reason? Kasavar, because he holds Kavsa Ein Zakikla, that if it goes out, you don't have to relight it, as long as it had the potential to last the entire shear. You don't have to relight the Chanukiah. V'asur l'shtamish ba'ora, and you're not allowed to use the light of the Hanukkah menorah. Okay. Amru Rabbanan Kameda Abaye, Mishmeda Rabbi Yirmiyah. So the Rabbanan said this halacha in front of Abaye, in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Velo Kibla. He wasn't Mekabel. He didn't think that was actually the halacha. Okay, so when Ravin showed up, Amru Rabbanan Kameda Abaye, so then they said it again in front of Abaye, Mishmeda Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Vikibla, and he accepted it and he said, you know what, that must be the halacha. And Amar, and he said, Izakai, if I was really Zocha, Gamirte the Shmaita Meikara. I would have learned this originally from the first time they told me. So Gemara says, I have a Hagamra. But he learned it in the end. I mean, so what's the problem? Who cares? So Gemara says, Nafkamino the Girsa the Yanuka. It's because Girsa learning the Yanuka when you're younger, so that stays with you longer. Right? The things that you learn when you're much younger, so for whatever reason, and psychology has borne this out true. You know, my kids are bilingual. I think they say that there's like a finite period until when most people can learn an extra language because it just doesn't stick. My kids who started with English and Hebrew at the beginning, so they're pretty bilingual, although their grammar needs a little tweaking, but Lamaisa, they have the capacity because they learned it at a very young age. The same thing, that when a person learns things when they're younger, so it sticks with them longer. So Abaye was lamenting that he could have learned this halacha earlier. Okay. Gemara says, V'kafsa ein zakik la, and if it goes out, if the Hanukkah candles go out, you don't have to relight it. Or Minu will ask you a question. Mitzvasa shetishka chama ad shetichla regal min hashuk. The mitzvah to light Hanukkah candles is from sundown until there is nobody else left in the market. That's the mitzvah. Gemara says, my lav, is it not referring to that v'kafsa hadar madikla? Does that not mean to say that if it goes out, you have to go relight it? So Gemara gives two answers. Lo. That's not what it's saying. What's it saying when it says that the mitzvah of Hanukkah is from sundown until when the people leave the market? Dilo adlik madlik. It's giving you a shear of until when you have to light. You can light from anywhere from, I don't know, 6 o'clock until whenever people disappear from the streets outside. Back in the day, that was not so much after sundown. Nowadays, obviously, it's till maybe 2, 3 in the morning, depending on where you live. Fine, that's how long you have to light. Inami, another answer, the shiura. That Bryce is giving you the shear, the amount of time that you have to light it. How long does the candle have to potentially last when you lit it originally? And most poskim say that that's half an hour. That when you light the menorah, it has to have the capacity, the ability to last for half an hour. But kafsa ein zakigla, that if it goes out, you don't actually have to relight it as long as it had this ability to last the original shear. Okay. Achetichla regal min hashuk. So Gemara says, v'ad kama. What, the shuk is very, what shuk? What marketplace? Like, how, v'ad kama, how long is that? So it's a very random shear. Apparently, until the Talmudians leave the marketplace, the Talmudians used to sell wood. They were wood sellers, and therefore, as it would make sense, that they left the market last, because people always needed wood to fuel their fires, right? As soon as it goes down, right, no electricity. So how would you get light? You would go out and buy wood. So, you know, they were the ones who stuck around the market last, longest, because people inevitably would, you know, kind of rush out to buy more wood if they ran out, etc., etc. Okay. Toner Rabbanan, whether the Rabbi said, Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ishu Beso. Well-known Gemara. The Mitzvah of Chanukah is, the basic Mitzvah is one candle for each household. Mahajin, what's the next level up? That's Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. That's a candle for each person in the house. So if you have five people on the fifth night, you're lighting five candles. Okay, meaning for the entire house is lighting five candles. Mahajim and a mahajrin, and the best way, and this is what we all do, obviously, that's machogis beishame beishelel. Beishame omrim yom rishon madlik shmona, the first night you light eight, mikad ve'elech pochus v'holech, and then you go down until the last day you light one. Beishelel omrim yom rishon madlik achas, and mikad ve'elech mostly v'holech, and obviously, like we paskin, we light one on the first night and go up until eight the rest of the time. Now, there's a famous machogis between the Rambam and Tosus over here, or how do you do Mahajrin min Mahajrin? Tosus says Mahajrin min Mahajrin is going on, there are three levels, yeah? We started with the basic level, Mahajrin, and Mahajrin min Mahajrin. So the way I would have read it, which is the way the Rambam reads it, is you have step one, step two, and step three. Yeah. Step one is one candle in each house. Step two is one candle for each person in each house. So on the fifth night, you're lighting five candles. Even if there are five people in the house, and on the fifth night you're lighting five candles. And the third step is not one candle for each person, but one Chanukiah for each person. So on the fifth night, if there are five people in the house, you're going to have 25 candles. Tosa says, no. The hither here, the Mahajrin and Mahajrin, is if you can tell what night of Chanukah it is. So basically, according to Tosvos, the steps go like this. It goes, Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Yishebeso, one candle every night. Mahajrin, one candle for each person every night. And the third step is not a takeoff on step two, but it's a takeoff on a different path on step one. So it's really step one, step two, and then 2A, and then step 2B. And therefore, what Tosu says is that each person, each household will have one Chanukiah, period. That's Mahajrin and Mahajrin. So on the fifth night, if there are five people in the house, you will light five candles. On the sixth night, you light six candles. On the seventh night, you light seven candles. That's Tosfos Shita. And oddly enough, usually the Sfardim go like the Rambam, but here the Ashkenazim mostly go like the Rambam, and the Sfardim paskin like Tosfos, more or less. But okay, that's just that. I had to mention that. Amar Ula. Amar Ula says, Pligi batrei Amorai b'marava. There's a machlokes between two Amoraim as to what the reason is for Beishamai Beishelo. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zveda. Chad Amar Taima de Beishamai. One of them says, machlokes Beishamai Beishelo is like this. The reason for Beishamai is keneged yamim hanichnasim, that you're lighting candles according to the days that you're expecting that are coming, that eventually will be coming. So on the eighth day, obviously, you light eight candles because there are eight more days coming. And the reason for Beis Hillel is like the days that are leaving, right? Obviously, the first day, you light one and go and continue. The Chad Amar, the other one says, the Beis Shammai's reason is corresponding to the Pari HaChag, the korbanos, the cows, the oxen, that you would bring on Sukkos. I'll explain that in a second. The time of the Beis Hillel, the Malam Bekodesh Ve'Emo Ridin. And Beis Hillel's reason is that there's a general principle of Malam Bekodesh Ve'Emo Ridin. We like to go up in holiness and not down. And therefore you go 1 to 8. Now, what in the world do the Pari HaChag, the Korbanos, the cows, the bulls that they offered on Sukkos, have to do with lighting the Chanukah menorah? So, just a little bit of background. The Korbanos on Sukkos, they used to bring, they brought 70 bulls, 70 parim, and they brought it in descending amounts, meaning the first day they brought 13, the second day they brought 12, 11, 10, etc., etc. Rashi on the Chumash writes that that was corresponding to the 70 nations of the world, and we wanted to symbolize that their koach should decrease, that just like the numbers of korbanos that we brought should decrease, so too the 70 nations should also decrease. And similarly, what's the correspondence to Hanukkah? So we see over here also, according to some opinions about how the oil burned, and there's all these discussions about how what exactly the miracle was, but according to the opinion that says that they poured in all the oil, and the oil went down 1/8 every single day, just, you know, one, instead of burning the entire cup or the entire amount, only 1/8 of the oil disappeared every single day. So too, the oil also went down in koach. Right, it lost its 1/8 every single day. So similarly, we light 8 to 1 to demonstrate exactly how the miracle occurred, that the oil lost koach. Okay, I mean, there's a ton of explanations, and we could go further, but it's Daf Yomi, and let's go right there. Okay. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Shnei Zekenim hayu betzidon. There were two Zekenim in Tzidon. Echad asa kid Beis Shammai, v'echad asa kid divrei Beis Hillel. One of them did like Beis Shammai, one did like Beis Hillel. Zeh nasantam ledvarav keneged Parei Achag. One of them said, no, my reason is because we're corresponding to the Parei Achag. Zeh nasantam ledvarav ma'alam b'kodesh v'lo moridin. And the other one said, no, I'm doing because of ma'alam b'kodesh v'lo moridin. In other words, they took the reason of the second Ma'an da'amar over the first. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, Ner Chanukah mitzvah le'nicha al Pesach be'iso mi'bachutz. The mitzvah to light Ner Chanukah is really, the mitzvah is to put it outside the entrance to your house. Im hayadar be'aliyah, if you live in an apartment building, so then manicha b'cholam asmuk l'shisar abin, and you should put it in the window that overlooks the shisar abin. U'shas sakana, let's say it's dangerous for you to light candles outside. Rashi gives the example that the Persians used to have on their holidays. They used to have a law that you could only light candles at night in their pagan temple. So if you would light any of your Hanukkah, if those holidays coincided, so you would have a problem because you couldn't light Hanukkah candles outside. But it really just refers to if there's any scenario where you'll get in trouble, it'd be dangerous if you light these candles outside. Instead of manicho al shulchano v'dayo, you can put it on your table, and it's totally fine. Amar Rava, again, because the Pursumei Nisa happens within your own home, and that's fine. Amar Rava, Tzarech Ner Acheres L'Shtamish La'ora. You need another candle. This is a famous Shita. You need a Shamish. You need another candle to use the light, because you're not allowed to use the light of the menorah. V'ika Medura, but if you have a torch, meaning you have another light source in the room, for nowadays it means a light overhead or light in the next room, Lo Tzarech, then you don't need it. It's underrated that you kind of actually sort of don't really need the shamash. Obviously, nowadays the minhag is to light a shamash in case you do come to use the light of the candles. Right, a lot of people light Hanukkah candles and turn the lights out, but when do the lights go back on? So okay, so it is definitely a minhag to light a shamash. The adam chashavu, and if it's an important person, so back in the day it wasn't proper for an important person to use a torch. A torch was kind of considered like this big, huge, unwieldy fire, so an important person used to use a candle to read his whatever. So then, afagav dik madura tzarech ner acheres, therefore, even though if you have a torch, then you need another candle, because you know, he's not going to use the torch to see whatever he's trying to see. Okay, let's stop here because the Gemara is going to launch into Mai Hanukkah, and we'll do that Mezi Shem on Shabbos. Simply now that I'll do a recording on Motzi Shabbos, so you'll have it available in America when Shabbos is out. All right, everybody, have a great, great Shabbos, and Mezi Shem, Chodesh Nisan. So Nisan is a Chodesh Shenigalu. That's the month that we were redeemed from Mitzrayim, and Mezi Shem. Chodesh Sidim Ligalim, Mitzvah Shem, we should see a Gula Shlema in this month, from this, both from this Machla, from the Magefa, and in general, we'll be Zochah to see the Mashiach. I'm down. I don't know if you are. Mitzvah Shem.